And you can determine here right away that these are dying words to the young Timothy. And I think we all understand that someone's final words to us, well, they carry a lot of weight and they ought to be taken heed to. There were no half measures with Paul. Either you're going to be out and out in the ministry, make full proof of it, or you're not going to be in it at all. And there are no half measures with the Lord Jesus either. He said that he that is not with me is against me. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and again we come to you with the message of God's Word today. Our program has a number of segments. One is on the fragments where the Lord Jesus was feeding the 5,000. When you ever doubt, did Jesus really feed those 5,000? You have to consider the fragments that were left over. Also, the duty of the evangelist, really, that is the message today. Paul said to Timothy that he was to do the work of an evangelist. And ever more than ever, this country needs evangelists, men and women who will take the gospel to souls who need the Lord Jesus. We have a hymn today, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Now we come to this little warm-up time where we come to Christ our peace. And of course it was peace accomplished at the cross. We're familiar, of course, with the Lord's cry from the cross, "It is finished." The suffering was completed. There were no more pain, sorrow to endure because the work of atonement, that of making peace, was finished there at the cross. And the peace offering was enough. God was satisfied. Jesus rendered satisfaction to his Father. His death turned away God's wrath and rendered God propitious. That means that he was now pleased and accepting, and he can now receive men through the blood and through the death of Christ, that they might be his children by the work of the cross. Now that means that there on the cross that Jesus actually did accomplish and purchase peace. It was peace accomplished. Colossians 1:20, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." And then he goes on to talk, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." And so you see, Jesus is our peace offering. His life, his body, his blood were offered up to God to make peace for us. And every Old Testament believer had to bring a peace offering to worship God. Now, who is your peace offering? What is the sacrifice that you will bring to God and say, "Now here is the very thing I'm looking to put away my sins out of your sight"? Well, of course, the Christian looks to the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our sacrifice. And we who were far off are made nigh by the very blood of Jesus. And this is the way to be close to God. This is the way to come into fellowship with God through the blood of the cross. Now, the war in your soul against God must end. You must cease from holding war with a holy God. And you must cease from your rebellion, your revolt to God. You can settle the matter now on the terms of Jesus' death for your own personal salvation. It was war against God to say, "I must do something more." Oh, please don't go that route. To add to what Jesus did is only to make you a further rebel to the peace of the gospel that Jesus purchased for you. But rather go on your knees and go to the foot of the cross and say, "Lord, that's enough. I believe Jesus paid it all for me. Let that be my portion today." That's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus did it all All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but his blood washed it white as snow. May the Lord bless you and give you that peace of the gospel fill in your heart today. Well, we're going back to that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and our text today is in verse 5, verse 5 of this passage, where the Apostle Paul says to the young pastor Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And you can determine here right away that these are dying words to the young Timothy. And I think we all understand that someone's final words to us, well, they carry a lot of weight and they ought to be taken heed to. There were no half measures with Paul. Either you're going to be out and out in the ministry, make full proof of it, or you're not going to be in it at all. And there are no half measures with the Lord Jesus either. He said that he that is not with me is against me. And no gospel preacher can be satisfied with doing half his work. And every one of us will give account one day to God for the message and the ministry that God has given to us. And today I want to speak to you about evangelism. Paul said to Timothy here, do the work of an evangelist. Are you doing this? Am I doing this? Am I being effective as a preacher doing the work of evangelism? We can be busy about many things. We can seek to be very organized and disciplined in various areas of God's work. But this is one department that is singled out in this text, and it deserves special attention. We have, of course, found the answer to the questions of sin, of eternity, of standing before God with a perfect righteousness. And the word evangelist means the bringer of a good news. We are bearing good news to those who do not know. And this is something that sometimes we forget, that those all around us drive up and down our roads and streets, and we may say hi to them and they're out on their walks, people that we're familiar even with their faces, if not with their lives. But we forget that they are lost. That if they die today, they're lost. And we have this good news. We have this deposit of the gospel, and we're called to share it with men. Now, in the New Testament, evangelists were a vital part of church life. They took the message beyond the church door or the little group setting. They didn't always have particular church buildings. Sometimes churches met in homes and in various other facilities. But they took, evangelists took the message beyond the group of Christians. In Ephesians 4, where you find that God has promised that he will give messengers, preachers, apostles, pastors, evangelists are added to that list. And so there is a specific work that is to be done by the evangelist. Philip was an evangelist. If you read Acts chapter 8, he was called an evangelist, and he was out ministering in the area of Samaria, and there's a particular event where he was sent to the Ethiopian, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah 53. And God spoke to Philip, go down to that area, and there speak to one whom you will meet. And that day the Ethiopian was gloriously converted through the evangelistic work of Philip. So if you ever find someone sitting somewhere reading Isaiah 53, make sure you speak to them. There's your golden opportunity. And of course he went to him and asked, what understandest what thou readest? Now sometimes this is called personal work. Sometimes it's called sharing or testifying, but it's work. No matter what you call it, it's work. It's not going to happen unless we energetically and specifically set ourselves to do this ministry. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And it is work that must be our business, with a sense of purpose. And I'm not going to tirade you with, you know, the gimmicks and the play game that some people call evangelism. But are we doing anything that we could call our evangelism? Our bringing the good news to a lost world? That's the burden of my heart today. And in God's dealing with me, brought me to this responsibility. It's my responsibility. And I want you, firstly, to be praying that God will make me an evangelist. And I will have, in this church, on radio, and wherever opportunity allows, an evangelistic ministry, a burden for the lost, and a message that God the Holy Spirit may use to the hearts of men. But I also want to call you to consider this work of evangelism, of having a ministry of your own. No, not just your own, but joining in the corporate work of the church and getting involved in reaching men with the gospel by doing your part. Now, to do this work, we need four things. And I think you'll see them in the life of Timothy. The first thing, we need a personal testimony. We need a realistic opportunity. We need a sense of responsibility. And we need a God-given ability. And for those that got their pens out, I'll just go over those again. A personal testimony, a realistic opportunity, a sense of responsibility, and a God-given ability. And so that's going to be the framework of our message here today, and I want you to follow along as we come now, firstly, to this personal testimony. We need a testimony of what the gospel has done for our own souls. Pity the person who goes out in the work of evangelism and they cannot share what the Lord has done for their own hearts. We need to be impressed with the very pit from which God has dug us, from that awful life of sin that we have been delivered. And it is out of a sense of our own debt to grace that we are moved to take this message of the gospel. We are also to have a personal testimony of what we think of Christ, our views of him, our love for him, our loyalty for him will all determine an impact upon us as we go about this work of evangelism. We need to, of course, have some knowledge of the deity the Trinity, and the personal equality of the Lord Jesus with God himself. And unless we know these things and are convinced of these things, then we will be very poor representatives and evangelists of this gospel. Also, we need a testimony of how the Lord has changed our own hearts by his own Spirit. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 5 of this epistle, you'll see how Paul speaks of Timothy's faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now, unfeigned means no pretense. It is a genuine faith, and that is in him. And of course, he was a child of a godly mother and grandmother, and he truly knew the Lord. That was the testimony of this young Timothy. And by this, we let our light shine before men. And the first thing that we need as we're going to do the work of evangelism is a personal testimony. I have trusted in the Lord. He has saved me. I know I have eternal life. I have the answer to the greatest questions concerning life, death, and eternity. And it is this gospel of the Lord Jesus that has done wonders in my own life that I want to take to the world. There's another thing that was emphasized in Timothy's life, and that was he was to preach the gospel that was according to godliness. And of course, godliness is a part of our testimony. And we need to have a changed life. If you're still doing the old things and you're going back to the old haunts of sin and you're living in the quagmire of iniquity, then you could never do the work of an evangelist. But if your life has been cleaned up, it has been brought into a new condition, that you're a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new, then you can be an evangelist. You can bring this good news to the world. And so we have to ask, are you saved? Are you sure of it? And does it show in your life? And others will know that we have been with Jesus. So that's our personal testimony. Then also, we need a realistic opportunity. If you go back to 2 Timothy 4:3, you will see that opportunities are not always fully open. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so you can see that it wasn't going to be very easy for Timothy to do the work of an evangelist with people who were interested in foolish things, fables, and doctrines that were unsound. Nevertheless, but watch thou in all things. In other words, seek an opportunity. Be on your guard and don't fall into those errors and notions that carry men away. And there will be opposition. There will be opposition. And this opposition will come from various quarters. We could say today that the last and most unlikely place that a missionary could go today would be North Korea. And last Sunday I learned that there was an execution of a whole group of Christians. I think they were in the number of 30 something. And the date was set and the execution was to take place against Christians that were discovered in North Korea. And it would be a place where we have to say at this moment the door is closed. It would be impossible to get in there and to preach the gospel. But we do have opportunity. We live in a country where it is legal and it is permissible to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, you need some wisdom. You need some smarts of where to do it, when to do it, and what exactly to do and say. But by and large, we live in a country where we do have free speech. And we can take this gospel either to homes or to various groups, or in some public places at least, and were not in danger of being executed. There may be some people that will give us a hassle and say, we don't like this, but our lives would not be in danger. So we do have an opportunity. And there are people who will listen. There are people who have no idea of what the gospel is. And they will give you their ear at least for a few minutes. And also, Easter is an opportunity. And that's why I feel led to speak on this subject at this time. Because at this time of year, there are always opportunities to invite people along to Easter services and to even talk about these great traditions. Now, there are people and they give up things for Lent. And you get all kinds of people from all kinds of religious backgrounds and traditions, and they will talk about what they're giving up for Lent. So at least they have something, a little smidgen of a tradition about what leads up to Easter. Now, we don't preach and teach that people should give things up for Lent. Self-denial is not going to help us to preach the cross, but we want to get the message of the gospel out. And many people do go to church at the Easter season. And we want to seek every opportunity to take the gospel to men and women. Now, I've been preparing this little leaflet that I want you to use to invite friends, family, neighbors along to hear the gospel. And this leaflet says it's still true. And of course, it's the empty tomb. And inside we have a message, and on the back page we have some church information. And I would like you to take a bunch of these. Everybody could at least take 10. And use the opportunity of the season to go forth and minister the gospel. Now, whether you drop them off, even mail them, or whether you go to door and ask a person to talk about it, I leave that up to you and how the Lord enables you. But we all have opportunity. We all have an open door that we may take the gospel. We also have a freedom, and we can use various means. We can use church literature, cards, personal invites, email, and we have all of these means by which we may take the gospel. Now, on Wednesday evening at our prayer meeting, I gave, and I wrote it on the board down in the prayer room, a definition of what is evangelism. And I thought that this was very helpful. It's by a man called Ernest Reisinger, and I just want to give it to you. That to evangelize is to present Jesus Christ to sinful men in order that they may come to put their trust in God through Him, that's through God's grace, to receive Him, the Lord Jesus, as their Savior and serve Him as their King in the fellowship of His church. Now, when you analyze that, you'll notice that our first goal is to reach sinful men. And they are all around us, and to lead them to a personal trust in the Lord Jesus, that they may serve Him in the fellowship of His church. So we don't see evangelism as something that's divorced from the work of the church or separate from it. There are those ministries that are dedicated to certain types of evangelism, but every church, every Christian in the church has a call and a responsibility to minister the gospel to each and every one. Now, you know that great gospel commission? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you alway. Well, that has been translated sometimes and commented on, that we are to go and make disciples. To teach is to make disciples. And so it's not just to go and extract a lip profession. Yes, I will be a Christian, sign a card, say a few words. But the goal of evangelism is to see people truly converted, ready to follow the Lord Jesus, to be His disciple, and to serve Him in the fellowship of His church. And so it goes full circle. We here in the church, we pray, we organize ourselves, we produce whatever literature or helps that we help us do this. We go out to invite men and speak to men and talk to men about their souls. And then we say, it's God's will for you not only to profess Jesus as your Savior, but that you serve Him in the fellowship of His church. And that becomes the opportunity that is laid out before us. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining us, and I trust that there has been just a little word for your own heart. Now, atheism is a very prevalent thing in our land today. I'm not sure how many people or what the ratio is, but there are many people with a great question mark about the existence of God and the power of God. Well, what about the miracles of the Lord Jesus? A teacher was telling her class of the time when the Lord Jesus fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. She said, "And of course you will understand, children, that it does not mean that Jesus actually fed all those thousands with a few loaves and fishes. That would have been impossible. It just means that he so fed the people with his teaching that they lost all sense of bodily hunger and went home satisfied." But an inquiring girl put this question, "But miss, what was it that filled the 12 baskets of fragments left over?" There was no answer, of course, to that one. And the miracles of our Lord Jesus are every one of them absolutely word perfect, and they are watertight. And they are the evidences of a supernatural life and the one who came to give that life in a supernatural death, that he might be the Savior of his people. And I beg you to put your faith in him today, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do not believe the lies, the doubtings of men, but believe the gospel, the good news, that Jesus saves. Stay tuned now for these closing few announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.